chapter 15, verses 1 to 21, and Emma is going to come and read that to us.
So Exodus chapter 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them, and they sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea."
Thanks so much. Just look at verse 13, if you would. This is where we're going to spend our time this morning. Verse 13, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. We're just going to give our attention to those words. Let me pray and ask for God's help, that he'd speak to us through these words. Gracious Father, we've already thought this morning of the power of your word. It's a light and a hammer, a fire and a sword. And we ask, Father, please, that your word, these words of Moses that are preserved for us, would do all that you purpose for them to do among us this morning. Father, may they make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Please, would they teach us, rebuke us, correct us, train us, encourage us, comfort us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you have that feeling of how on earth is it 2022? Anyone else got that feeling? It's just come round so quick, hasn't it? And I guess many of us would have hoped to be in a better place in some ways than we were this time last year. But although things, you know, are better in some ways, we still face a lot of uncertainty, don't we, as we look into the year ahead. We're not sure what's going to happen with COVID. Many of us in this church family, I know, are in places at the start of this year that we really hoped we wouldn't be, facing uncertainties that are ahead of us, troubles that we've got. Who knows what this year holds for us personally? I mean, that's true of any year, isn't it? But there's a lot of uncertainty around at the moment. Who knows what this year holds for us as a church family? Who knows what troubles we'll face? Who knows what joys will come our way this year? Who knows what choices we will face? There are many things as you begin a new year that can leave you feeling very uncertain, unsure about what's going on, what's going to happen, particularly as we find ourselves still in the middle of a pandemic. But this morning, just using this verse, using these words of Moses that are preserved for us, I actually want to show you that there are two things that a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus, someone who's been rescued and redeemed by Jesus, can say with certainty as we enter 2022, as we embark on a new year together. And those are two things that we can say. Look at verse 13. In your unfailing love, Lord, you will lead the people you have redeemed. And in your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Two things we can say with certainty. Thing number one is that Jesus will lead us. Jesus is leading us as we embark into 2022. And I want to say that's true for you as an individual. That's true for you personally as a follower of the Lord Jesus this morning, if that's you. But it's also true, and I think sometimes we miss this sense, it's true in the corporate sense. It is true for us as a church that the Lord Jesus is and will continue to lead us in 2022. That is true whether this year holds good things for us or whether this year holds hard things for us. The Lord Jesus leads His people. Emma and I had the privilege this year, just gone, of taking a couple of days out in Cambridge just to spend some time together, to pray together, to think about life together. And actually, while we were just pootling around Cambridge, it's a great city, not really been there, but while we were pootling around, we noticed that there was lots of clusters of people, guided tours of Cambridge. And there was people leading these groups. And every time they wanted to move on, they'd hold up something like a card or a clipboard, and then suddenly the group would just move with them. And this person had great power with a clipboard. I was tempted at times just to kind of find a piece of paper and just hold it up and start walking, see if anyone would follow us. But this leader, the leader of the group, would take people from destination to destination. There's a lot of trust in the group, isn't it? This person just leads them from one place to another. And this person was totally in control of where the group ended up. When they stopped, the people stopped. When they walked on, they walked on. And they were listening to this person as they went around. And in many ways, that's a great and helpful picture of what the Lord Jesus is like and will be like for us as individual Christians and as a church in 2022. Jesus leads his people, both in the seen and in the unseen, taking full control of where he wants us to be. Now, let's just think about that for a moment, because that means, first of all, that Jesus will lead us with his words. He leads his people with his voice. The word and the gift of the Holy Spirit is how the Lord Jesus is leading and directing people. It's how he teaches us and rebukes us and corrects us and trains us in righteousness. We need to be people of the word this year, because that is how Jesus leads us. Shows us what to do, tells us how to behave where he's put us. But it's also important to know that he leads us with his sovereign control of our circumstances. He leads us with his voice, he directs us, he commands us what to do, where to go. But he also leads us with his sovereign control, his powerful hand over our lives. He's taking us down paths where he wants us to be. He's taking us to people that he wants us to be with. He's taking us perhaps to places that he wants us to be. Now that truth that the Lord leads his people with his words and with his sovereign control is seen in the dramatic story that surrounds these words of Moses in Exodus 15. It's surrounded, look at verse 13 again, in your unfailing love you will lead the people you have redeemed. It's a story of redemption. Exodus is the dramatic story of how the Lord has rescued his people from their slavery in Egypt. And what does he do with the people that he's redeemed? This dramatic story of how he's taken hold of them and rescued them, he's loved them and he's brought them to himself. What does he do with the people he redeems? Does he just leave them to wander on his own? He says, well, I've got you this far, off you go, you make the rest of the journey yourself. No, he doesn't leave them wandering aimlessly in a wilderness. He leads them. He's in front of them. He's guiding them where to go. He's committed to them in his love for them. His love that saved them is the love that will then lead them when he wants them to be. And some of you will know the story, but he does that in a very visual and dramatic way in the book of Exodus. He leads them with a pillar of cloud, which he puts in front of them and leads them. When the cloud moves, they go, a bit like the person with the clipboard. The clipboard raises and the people go. They wander. But he also leads them with his word. He gives his words to Moses, and Moses then gives the word to the people, and they hear God's voice, and they are led what to do, how to behave, what should they be like. The Lord is in total control of where they end up. And importantly in the story, that is even when they end up in hard places. See, the story just before this, the Lord had led them to the edge of the Red Sea. He'd led them into a situation where they had the sea on one side and they had the enemy of Egypt breathing down their neck on the other side. And the Lord had led them into this most hard of places, difficult of places, fearful of places. But he hadn't abandoned them. He had led them there. The Lord leads his people. And Moses looks back on the Lord's rescue. He looks back on this amazing rescue from Egypt, their redemption. And it makes him confident because of what God has done, of what God will do. That he will lead his people. He will continue to lead his people. Moses is so confident in the unwavering, unshakable love of the Lord that has redeemed them from slavery, that it gives him confidence for what the Lord will do from day to day. And friends, the same is true for those of us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What Moses could say with confidence as he experienced the redemption of the Lord from Egypt, we can say as we've experienced the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. Redemption not from slavery in Egypt, but redemption from our slavery to sin. Jesus died on a cross to set us free from our slavery. And what will he do with those that he's redeemed? Will he just leave us to wander in the wilderness? Is it that Jesus has just given us kind of a leg up? Well, here you go, I've redeemed you. Now off you go. Now look at verse 13 again. In your unfailing love, the unfailing love of the Lord that sent Jesus to the cross, you will lead the people you have redeemed. What Jesus has done, what the cross declares to us, should give us confidence of what he will do and what he will keep doing for us in 2022. He will lead us. He won't abandon us. Listen to how Paul puts it in the New Testament, in Romans 8. He says this, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" He loves us enough to redeem us, and therefore he loves us enough to lead us, to be with us, to show us where to go. And so we can say with confidence, there are not many things you can say with confidence about 2022, but we can say with confidence that the Lord Jesus will lead us this year. He is leading us right now, and he will continue to lead us in 2022. Now, what does that mean? Let's just try and think this in for a second, apply it into our lives. What does that mean for 2022? Well, first thing it means is that we've got to stick close to the one who leads us, right? We've got to stick close to Jesus, the man leading the tour, the man with the clipboard. We've got to follow his commands. We've got to be listening to his voice. They will guide us when we don't know what to do. The voice of Jesus through the scriptures will teach us what to do with our parenting and in our relationships and in our marriages and in our singleness and in our work and in our choices that we're going to make. We need to listen in to the word of Jesus. We need to pray for Jesus to show us the way. We need to pray in this promise. It's not wrong to pray back to God the promises that he's made. And if he says he will lead us, then pray, Lord, lead me. Show me which way to go. Guide me. Read the word. Listen to him. Be in the places where we will hear his voice and engage with him. Read of the example of the Lord Jesus to follow. As we read the Gospels, stick close to the one who leads us. You know, think about those tours in Cambridge. You know, it'd be very easy, wouldn't it? If someone's waving the clipboard around, the group's moving, someone else think, oh, that looks more interesting, and wander off the other way. Actually, if you want to stay on the tour, if you want to be led in the right way, you've got to stick with the person who's leading. And that means sticking with Jesus. What does it mean? Jesus will lead us, we'll stick with him. But secondly, here's something, and I think that this is perhaps harder for us to kind of swallow, as it were, but it means that we need to trust that where he takes you this year is actually where he wants you to be. Where he takes you is where he wants you to be. I don't know if any of you drive with a sat nav. I think most of us probably do in some form now. But I still sometimes get so puzzled by the way that a sat nav takes you. You ever had this experience where you're pretty sure you know the way, and then suddenly it takes you around like 10 streets you would never have picked to drive down? And in many ways, that's how we see God work. God's leading of us work. We end up going down routes that you think, well, why are we going this way? Why, God, would you take us down this street and this street? And why would you put us in this place? But you see, the Lord is leading us. The Lord leads us to where he wants us to be. And sometimes he takes us in the strangest of directions. It's called God's sovereignty. It's his control over all things. So our job, or lack of a job this year, the neighbors we have, or the sickness we may encounter this year, the health or lack of health that we may have, the experiences of old age, where we are is where Jesus wants us to be. And if we truly believe that Jesus is leading us, then we must trust that where we are is where he wants us. And that includes if it's led us to a difficult place. And for us right now, that includes living in it, doesn't it, in the middle of a pandemic. Do you believe that we're still being led, or do you think that Jesus has sort of abandoned us? No, Jesus has led us, and we are where he's taken us. But like the Red Sea, we're not abandoned. Even if you think we're standing on the edge of the Red Sea, or your life personally feels like you're standing on the edge of the Red Sea one side, you've got an enemy breathing down your neck, and you're thinking, well, where's God in all this? The reality that the Bible declares to us is that we are led. We have not been abandoned. We're led by Jesus. And so here's one thing you can say as we enter into 2022. A Christian, a follower of Jesus, can say, Jesus will lead us this year. He will lead me. He will lead us as we enter into a new year. The second thing that these words, verse 13, says that we can say with confidence is not just that Jesus will lead us, but Jesus will get us to heaven. Jesus will get us to heaven. Although this might not be your year to go to heaven, Jesus will get us to heaven. So you go back to my sat-nav for a moment. You sometimes, like we said, you get taken down the oddest of paths, but a sat-nav is taking you to a fixed destination, isn't it? It is taking you to the destination you punched in when you sat in the car and you said, this is where I want to go. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus is leading his people, and that's true. He is constantly leading his people, but he's leading us somewhere. He's taking us to a destination. Postcode punched in is heaven. To be with the Lord Jesus forever. Jesus' home, his holy dwelling. Look at verse 13. He talks about his holy dwelling. You will guide them to your holy dwelling. Now, for Moses and the redeemed people, their ultimate home was heaven. But the Lord, in this instance, in this story, was leading them to a land that he'd promised to give them. A land where God would dwell with them and they with him, and they would be his people and he would be their God. And this was the place where, as it were, heaven and earth, that great distance, that great gap was going to be kind of compressed, and that gap closed a little bit. And here what Moses is doing in verse 13 is he's expressing his total confidence in the strength of God to get them to that destination. See, he's experienced that strength in the redemption. He's seen that strength as he's just, most of this song is rejoicing in how God has taken this powerful enemy and cast them into the sea to liberate them. And here what we see is that because of that strength he'd seen, he's confident that that strength will then bring them to the promised land, to the holy dwelling. You will, notice the confidence, you will guide your people to the holy dwelling. To lead, if you look at verse 13, you've kind of got two halves, as it were. This is how kind of Hebrew poetry works. You kind of get parallelism, two halves that sound a little bit the same. And the word lead and guide, they sound, don't they, a little bit similar. They kind of think, well, aren't they the same thing? And they are. But in the original language, the word guide just carries a slightly different shade of meaning to the word lead. And the word guide here carries with it a sort of a more gentle sense, a sense of providing and protecting. And that is the things that you find the Lord doing for his people on their journey to the promised land. Providing and protecting. And friends, it's this certainty that belongs to the Christian, to those redeemed by the Lord Jesus as we make our journey to heaven. He will guide us. The road may be rough. If you read on the story, the road wasn't just nice and smooth. He didn't just carve out a straight path with no troubles along the way. The road was rough. Sometimes the enemies were many. They pressed in against them. And we're told as Christians that we have an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for people to devour. The enemy may be much on the road, but the Lord will provide and the Lord will protect. He will guide us and he will get us to heaven. The New Testament's super clear about this, isn't it? Think about Peter. The Apostle Peter says that we are shielded. It's a cool word, isn't it? We're big fans of kind of Marvel movies in our house and lots of kind of shields that go up and protection. But we are shielded. That's a brilliant image, isn't it? We're shielded by God's power on that journey to heaven. Paul, the Apostle Paul, it's not just Peter who talks about it. Paul says that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He will get you to heaven. And of course, then there's the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who says, no one will snatch you out of my hands. He will get us to heaven. Friends, Jesus will guide us. He will get us to the destination that he has put on us by redeeming us. Destination heaven. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that is proved to us, isn't it, by the cross. So what does that mean for us as we enter 2022? Well, it means that we've got to learn to rely on the strong one. Look at verse 13. In your strength, you will guide them to the holy dwelling. We have got to learn to rely upon the one who is strong to get us to heaven and stop relying on ourselves. Keep looking to Jesus and his strength. John Newton, the songwriter who wrote Amazing Grace, he says this in the line, doesn't he? Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come, but grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. He'd grasped the sense that actually, if you're going to make it through the dangers and toils of life, you have to rely on the strong one, not on yourself. And so, friends, in our battles with our own brokenness and sinfulness, who are you going to rely on this year to overcome those battles, which so often feel like they might derail us on our journey to heaven? Who are you going to rely on? Are you going to rely on yourself? Or you're going to rely on Jesus and his strength, that the strength he displayed at the cross to forgive you of those sins, the strength that he now gives to us to say no to those sins. Who are you going to rely on? When you're weary in the faith, when you're weary in life, I know many in our church family at the moment are just struggling with age and the experience of getting older. Where are you going to rely when you feel that pressure? Rely on the strong one. When you're tired in your praying and you're tired of serving in some way, where are you going to rely? Rely on the strong one. Rely on Jesus. Jesus will get us to heaven. It's his strength. So rely upon him. There are not many things that we can say with certainty about 2022. But verse 13, let's look at it one more time. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you've redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. That's what Moses knew as he looked back to his redemption. And friends, we can own those words as those redeemed by the Lord Jesus today. And we can say with certainty, if you're following the Lord Jesus, that this year, Jesus will lead us. He hasn't abandoned us. He will lead us. Whether that means we end up in hard places or good places, Jesus is leading his people. And so stick with him. Trust that where you are is where he wants you to be, even if that's hard. And he will get us to heaven. He will get us to that destination. And if this morning you don't have that certainty, if you can't share the certainty that Moses had and the followers of Jesus can have, then let me urge you this morning to ask the Lord Jesus to redeem you, to save you from your slavery to sin, and to make you part of his people that he is leading and that he will get to heaven. What can we say with certainty? Jesus will lead us and Jesus will get us to heaven. That's pretty good things to be certain about in 2022, isn't it? Why don't we pray some of that in and then we'll sing in response. Our Father in heaven, we find ourselves once again in uncertain times. Father, many of us enter 2022 worried about life, worried about COVID, worried about what the year ahead holds, just perhaps because we've got big life choices to make this year or health issues going on. Father, we are worried. But we thank you that as followers of Jesus, we can say with confidence that Jesus will lead us this year. He will be directing our steps through his words and through his sovereign control over our lives. Father, please would we trust him. Please would we listen to him. Please would we obey him. And we thank you for the confidence that Jesus will get us to heaven. Father, when there are many dangers and toils and snares on the road, we rejoice that he will lead us home. He will complete in us the work that he has begun. Father, may we look to his strength and not to our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, let's stand, shall we, and sing A Great Redeemer.